Thank you, folks. It's a privilege to be with you here tonight. We're really going to trust God for a touch and His ministry for us tonight. How many of you are glad to be here tonight? How many of you wish you stayed at home? Yeah, we had a great time this morning in Stellenbosch, and the Lord really moved in our midst. Now, I just realized I should have printed this out, but I haven't, so we're going to do it the laptop and the notes. This evening's message is called Seek, and you'll find out now what we're going to be seeking and why we should seek. My wife and I were missionaries for a few months in Russia in 2000, yeah, the year 2000 and 2001, and we were ministering to potential church planters, a school of missions in a city called Armavir, which is the south of Russia. So it's a 4-hour flight from Moscow to Armavir. So here's Moscow and there's Armavir right at the bottom. It's close to Chechnya. And we were ministering to this group of students, myself and another man, Peter Dix. And it seemed like everything we said went against the wall. So we'd minister, teach the word, and as it went, it hit a wall. And they would sit like this. It was like nothing that we were saying was penetrating their hearts. And we prayed and did intercession. We spoke to the organizers. They were praying while we were ministering the word to these people. But it's like they had no interest in what the word of God was saying. They lost all interest, all passion. And I thought, why are these young people here? What are they doing here? They obviously have no passion for the word of God, no passion for the kingdom of God. And we were at our wits' end. I mean, after day three, it was a nightmare ministering to these people. I mean, it's like, and we'd share powerful testimonies and powerful stories and powerful word. And the same lectures we gave there, we gave at many other schools all over Russia. And those students in the other schools would eat it and drink it up and enjoy it. But these guys were just not interested. It was weird. We did spiritual work. We did everything. And eventually I said, Lord, what must we do? Help us. Show us how we're going to break through to these students. And He said to me, I'm going to give the answer to your wife. Go talk to her. She's more prophetic than you. So I went to Nordine and I said, Nordine, God says He's going to tell you what we're going to do to get these guys to be switched on. He said, I don't know what to do. I said, well, God said He's going to tell you, so ask Him. So she went away a little bit. We stopped the classes and we said to them, she said to me, tell them to stand in a circle and just start praying. Oh, and they stood there. You know, they were not interested in praying. And then she said, now start singing. Oh, and they sang drabby. They weren't interested in singing. And we walked around them as they stood like this, the walls of Jericho. We walked around them. And eventually, she broke through their ranks and she went to one guy and she punched him in the tummy. And he keeled over like this. And he started laughing. And he started laughing and it became contagious. Eventually, the next one laughed. And then she went to the girl that really had the stinkiest attitude. And she took her with a hand. And you know, when they do ring-a-ring-a-rosie and the kids hold their hands and they twirl around. And she started doing it with this girl. And this girl started laughing. And something broke in the spirit realm. In the presence of God, there's fullness of joy. God's, her prophetic obedience ushered in the presence of God. All the prayers that were going up for these youngsters was ushering in the presence. We seeked God's counsel. We seeked His presence. And joy broke forth. And those students het handomkeer verander. They turned completely. They changed completely. Then they could not get enough of God's word. They would come and ask us questions. When they had to do an outreach in town, they were so excited to walk up to any stranger and share the gospel. And just pour out their hearts. And they came back with testimonies. And that girl came to Noreen and she says, something happened. I don't know what happened. He said, before we toiled around, I had no interest in the word of God. There was like this heaviness. I was consumed with my problems, my issues, my lacks, my fears, my lack of this, my lack of that. And she says, something broke. And it's the presence of God that broke the yoke. The anointing that broke the yoke. When you and I are knocked down, and we're knocked to and fro by circumstances, when your heart is heavy laden and my heart's heavy laden, and you and I do not have the strength for the next day or the next hour, what can we do? When others are harsh and looming, disappointments threatens to break what you and I do. How do you and I cope with all of life's surprises, knocks, and punches? How do you and I stand strong, victorious, in the midst of adversity? How do you and I overcome all that is set against us? There's one thing, and it's a primary thing that you and I lack, that I desperately need and should long for, that you should desperately need and long for. There's one thing we should hunger for, search and seek with all our being for this one thing. It's called the presence of God. Because in the presence of God, things change. Now, if you look with me at Psalm 16, verses 11, it says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore." In your presence is an abundance of joy. And at your right hand, which is Jesus Christ, is the right hand of the Father, there are abundant pleasures. There are pleasures forevermore. And I'd like you to turn to one another in little groups of two. And tell each other what you think those pleasures are in His presence and in that fullness of joy. Okay, talk to each other. Okay. Who'd like to give us a bit of feedback? Anybody? What do you think those pleasures are forevermore? You on? Presence of God. Fulfills all the little holes that we have. Yeah, I think that is very much the truth. Anybody else? Let's get somebody at the back row. Ma'am, you on the point. What do you think those pleasures are? Yes. Peace. All right, peace, eh? Okay. Yes. Amen. 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 No, no. All your answers are right. It's all part of the truth. All right. His presence is always seemingly associated with joy. And joy implies that we have received His perspective. Would you agree with that? Joy implies we've received godly perspective. Joy, if we've reached the place of godly joy, we've reached His insight. And we've reached understanding, godly understanding. It's in His presence that we get perspective. It's in His presence that we get insight into circumstances And it's in His presence that we get understanding. Let's talk about perspective, first and foremost. Perspective is where you realize God is real. When you get godly perspective in His presence, the reality of God shouts louder than any other reality in the breath that you breathe. The reality of God is the greatest perspective that God wants to give us in His presence. With the reality of God comes the realization He is faithful. He is kind. He's in control. That becomes our greatest reality. We receive an inner peace, like you said, ma'am at the back. It's in His presence that we receive confidence in Him. Our confidence is restored in His presence. And we are strengthened in that confidence. It's in His presence that our trust in Christ is restored. Our hope is plucked up in the presence of God. Something seemingly insurmountable, impossible, becomes possible and doable in the what? The presence of God. We become tuned into His stream. His wavelength becomes our wavelength. His wavelength becomes our perspective. And we start behaving out of His perspective with confidence and authority. We were in Tunisia, just to illustrate this point, many years ago. And whenever I did a mission trip those years, I would take a cassette player with me. Who's not seen a tape cassette ever before in your life? Has everybody seen a tape cassette? Okay, in real life, you've touched the tape cassette. Who's not touched the tape cassette? Yes, she's honest. Some of the youngsters aren't honest here. You maybe seen it on a movie. But who has not touched the tape cassette and put it in a tape recorder? Okay, let's take it further. Who's not played a tape in this room? Be honest. Those two youngsters have not played a tape. No, kijk hulle achter toe. Het jy? Okay. Okay, so I would take a tape in a tape record and a tape cassette player, portable thingy, with headphones, and we traveled to many Muslim nations, of which one was Tunisia. And as we traveled there, I would have amazing praise and worship playing in my ears all the time. And whenever people weren't surrounding me, I would just worship God. So what was I doing? I was ushering in, or I was entering in. I can't usher in God's presence. I was entering in His presence. So one day, we as a team of people interceding for the people of Tunisia felt we have to walk to them and just declare salvation over them. They can't speak English or Afrikaans, so we'd walk up to them. But we have such boldness. We have such confidence because we prayed up. We worshipped up. The presence of God is within us. We are so aware of the reality, the awesome power of the Most High God, even in the heart of a demonically controlled country. Very evil. It's the air is thick with evil. Thick with Antichrist. And despite that, the presence of God is more powerful than all of that. And we would walk up to people and we'd say to them, I declare over you, young man, these two Tunisian men would stand next to each other in their 20s and we'd say, I speak salvation over you in Jesus Christ's name. At the name of Jesus Christ, the guy starts manifesting on the street. That his friend looks at him and says in Arabic, are you okay? What's wrong? You know, why are you shaking and eyes are twisting and all of that? But we had confidence because we were entering in to the presence of God. In the presence of God, with His perspective, our hearts get settled and we become secure. We become steadfast. If we go look at 1 Corinthians 1 verses 26 to 31, we read the following. Brothers, consider your calling. Not many are wise from a human perspective. So it's speaking of a non-wise human perspective in comparison to a godly presence perspective. So not many of you are not wise in a human perspective. Not many powerful, not many of noble birth. Now remember, the opposite is true out of a godly perspective. Out of a human perspective, we are not powerful. Out of a human perspective, we are not of noble birth. Out of a human perspective, we're not wise. But under the presence of God, we are wise. We are of noble birth. Out of a spirit perspective, a presence perspective, and we are powerful under the presence of God. Instead, God has chosen what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God has chosen us that is foolish to shame the wise. And God has chosen, so we are chosen. God has chosen what is weak in the world to shame the strong. We are strong in the presence of God. God has chosen what is insignificant and despised in the world. The world sees us insignificant and despised, but in the presence and the perspective of God in and through us, we are significant and we are honored, not despised. What is viewed as nothing, to bring to nothing what is viewed as something. We are not nothing. We are very much something when we enter with the presence of God. When we do things out of the presence of God. When we move out of that perspective and with that understanding as the Spirit is upon us. So that no one can boast in His presence. But it is from Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who became God-given wisdom for us. Our righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. When you have the reality of God as your greatest reality, you know you are righteous. You know you are sanctified. You know you're redeemed, because you're operating out of the presence, die teenwoordigheid van die allerhoogste God, the presence of God. In order that it is, as it is written, the one who boasts must boast in the Lord. So if we want to brag, we can only brag. It's God who does it. That's our brag. Yes, we are righteous, but it's Him that gives me righteousness. Yes, we are sanctified, but it's Him that gives me sanctification. So the presence of God, first and foremost, gives us perspective on the totality of who we are in Christ. And we'll never discover who we are in Christ unless the reality of who He is becomes our greatest reality. The second aspect of presence of God is insight. It should be, yeah, it's up there. In the presence of God, we suddenly see the wood for the trees. Another explanation of insight is we see differently. With the presence of God in us and upon us, and we under the presence, the realization of His presence, the connection, the constant connection with God, out of that presence, we see what others don't see. And we see the final positive outcome, even though everything around us contradicts the positive outcome. Because we see in the Spirit, we see out of the presence of God. Our hope is strengthened because our prophetic eyes and understanding has been opened. Insight we receive in the presence of God. We were in Romania, and a group of students had discipled a group of gypsies. And for 4 weeks prior to us coming there, they tried to baptize these gypsies in the Danube River in Romania. And every time on a Saturday when they would walk to the Danube River, the air, the sky would be clear. And as they started walking, it was a long distance to walk, many kilometers. Then the clouds would come up, lightning would start hitting, it would come torrentially down the rain, and they'd give up on baptizing these gypsies. So this was now probably week 4 or week 5. They saying to us that went there, should we go and baptize? And we say, yes, in faith. And as we walk, the air's clear, the sky's clear, it's blue skies. As we walk, the next moment, out of nowhere, these dark clouds come up. And they become ominous. And there's lightning. And rain starts pouring down. And then we start huddling together and we pray. We seek the presence of God. And as we're seeking the presence of God, we say, God, should we continue? And God gives us insight in His presence. And He says, push on. Press on. We pray in tongues. 10 minutes later, somebody comes and says, but it's raining harder. And we, by the Spirit, say, keep on praying. Because in the presence of God, we have prophetic insight of what's going to happen. At one stage, we start doubting. I start doubting. I say, oh, Lord, this is getting worse. You know, what's going on here? I just know that we know that we know. We must carry on. 10 minutes later after that, the clouds broke up. A rainbow came out. The sun started shining. By the time we reached the river banks, our clothes were dry. And we baptized those gypsies in an open sky with a rainbow in the background. But we only received that prophetic insight because we persisted. We pressed into the presence of the Most High God. We did not give up. In the presence, in His presence, we receive strategy to reach an amicable breakthrough. That's mission strategy, evangelistic strategy. In His presence, we receive insight, understanding, and strategy to break through. We were called to visit in Kempton Park. Myself and another minister were called to a house. The lady was locked up in her room. And she said, please come. My husband is totally intoxicated with alcohol and is threatening to shoot me and himself. And I can't get out of my room. Don't you want to come? And so we went and we stood at the front gate of the house, of the garden, the front wall, the front gate. And we prayed there, myself and the other guy. And eventually we ventured into the garden. And we could hear him shouting in the sitting room. And we ventured into the garden and we walked to the front wall of the house. But the house is raised, so you stand at the front wall and the window is above your head. So it's one of these raised houses with step up to the balcony. Older houses were all raised. So he can't see us. We felt pretty safe, you know, but to kind of hide underneath this, you know, underneath the window. And as we were praying and seeking God's presence, I felt led. I said to him, you know what? I really feel God is saying we need to go in. He's not going to shoot us. I really know. I just sense He needs a lot of love and affirmation. This man is broken. He's at his wit's end. But that knowledge I could not have gotten unless I was in the presence of God. God gave me a strategy. And He gave me the words what to say to the man when I come in. Because he was threatening, if anybody comes in, I'll shoot you. He noticed we'd come, by the way. And I'm going to shoot her, and I'm going to shoot me. And he was carrying on. So I thought, okay, Lord, You're giving me strategy. You told me what to say, how to approach this guy. So I walk up the stairs and go in and hear this guy sitting on his couch. His table is covered with bottles of alcohol. And his pistol's lying there. And I look back and the other pastor was in the front fence. He'd run away in the meantime. Now, at that moment, I was the brave guy. There were other instances where I would have been standing there. So I'm not better than him. So for this instance, God gave me the word. And so we spoke. I spoke to him, said, you know what? God loves you. There is a solution. It's not the end of the world. There are answers. There's hope for your life. There's hope for your circumstances. And it came out he'd lost his job and he was staring insolvency in the eye. He was going to be declared bankrupt. There was a lot of bad things happening in his life. And this is the way he handled it, by running to booze. And then eventually the other guy came and we both could minister to him. She came out the room and the thing was sorted. He repented. And we didn't have to call the police. He wasn't taken with handcuffs to a jail or whatever, or prosecuted. And God sorted the situation out. So in His presence, God gives us strategy and amicable breakthroughs. Psalm 73 verse 22. Actually, the whole Psalm 73 speaks of how the people of Israel lack insight. We're talking about insight in His presence. How they lack insight outside of His presence, and how they find insight and understanding in His presence. And verses 22 says, I was ignorant and lacked insight. I was senseless as an animal before you. And the reason the psalmist is without insight is because he's so upset that the wicked are prospering. He's so upset that people are getting away with murder, with theft, with a lot of wrong things. And he was becoming like them, wild and like an animal. And then God gives him an answer. He says, then I went into your, say it with me, sanctuary, O God, and I finally understood the what? The destiny. The key word, sanctuary, understood destiny. So in the presence of God, we, in the sanctuary, we understand and we see where we're going. We see where the world is going. We see where our brothers and sisters are going. We see what God is busy with through and in our lives. So, guys, seek His presence. There's one thing that you come away with tonight. Make seeking His presence your priority. Third thing, understanding. The first was His perspective. The second is His insight. And the third is godly understanding. Now, another description of godly understanding is big picture. Another word for, or another understanding of perspective is the reality of God. When you have the perspective of God, you have the reality of God. When you have the insight of God, we see like God sees. And when we have His understanding, we have a big picture of what's going on around us. Now let's go look at Daniel 9, verses 20 to 22. Now while I was speaking, praying, and confessing. Speaking, praying, confessing. What do we do that? Where do we do that? We do that in the presence of God. You speak, you confess, you pray, you're in the presence of God. My sin and the sin of my people. So he's repenting, he's confessing, he's communicating with God. Presenting my supplications before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. So he was in God's presence. He was inquiring of God, what is the big picture for Israel? Where is Israel going to? Where am I going to as Daniel? What's going to happen with my life? What's going to happen with the life of the people of Israel? And God gave him understanding. And what's so amazing is, not only did he get understanding, he even saw an angel because he sought the presence of God. In the presence of God, angels appear. He was speaking, praying, confessing, supplication, and he was wrestling with God. Nothing that is of any real value comes easy. Amen and Anna. nothing of any real godly spiritual value comes easy. And if it's come easy, the chance of it being counterfeit is very good. How much more does God's understanding and intimacy take all of your energy, all of your strength, and all the energy and spiritual energy you can muster to wrestle with God? And Daniel wrestled with God. And as he was wrestling, confessing, praying, supplications, all those words mean different things, different angles of the same thing. While he was doing that, God gave him understanding. We understand why we are going through what we are going through in the presence of God. Why am I going through what I'm going through? That we understand in the presence of God. In the presence of God, we receive answers to those hard questions. Questions long been unanswered receive His insightful, mind-blowing response. Questions long answered receive His mindful, His mind-blowing response in the presence of God. Colossians 1 verse 9, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." So they're praying for these other people, they're interceding so that they will receive understanding. So that in the presence of God, they will receive spiritual understanding. People can pray for you and you can pray for yourself. You can enter into His presence and you'll receive spiritual understanding. Questions are being answered. Jesus gave His most powerful rebuttals and arguments. He gave His most powerful spiritual understanding, insight, answers when He was, or when others were in His presence. When the Pharisees dared to go to Christ and challenge Him, that's when He gave them mind-blowing answers. And in His presence came revelation knowledge, came mind-blowing answers that we till today are discovering the depth of those answers. Every day or every time you read a scripture, something else jumps out at you. That is how deep and how alive the Word of God is. It's alive. It's alive. And God, when they were in the presence of Christ, they got these amazing rebuttals, these amazing arguments from the Most High God that silenced them. And no human wisdom could stand up to the wisdom of Jesus Christ. When they confronted Him, He said, "How dare you call yourself the Son of God?" And He said, "But you know what? You are called little gods. Because to whomsoever the knowledge of the truth of the kingdom of God is exposed and explained and taught to, you are like little gods with a small g." You know that? It's in Psalms. He was quoting a psalm there. To whomever the kingdom of God and salvation is preached that have got the truth of the knowledge of the Most High God, to whomever receives that is regarded like a little god. Not God, but a small god. And He answers them like that and they silence because it's in the Psalms. "Now I am the Son of God," He says. "I am. When you see Me, you see the Father." So He gives amazing, outstanding answers. What must God do and allow to happen before we are honest, sincere, truthful about ourselves in His presence before Him? What must God still do in your life and in my life? What must happen before He really, really gets our undivided attention and devotion? Before He gets our unadulterated ear and hearing. There's two aspects to an ear. It's the ear and it's the hearing. The digesting of what God is saying to you and me. Where we are really willingly open to mean business with Him. A place where we're willing to be open to mean business with Him. Where we become vulnerable. That's the place of having an ear and having hearing for God. Where we become vulnerable and emotionally, spiritually naked before the Lord. That's the place where God wants us to be. Then we'll taste and see the presence of God. Where we wrestle with our God in His presence. Where we connect in intensity, absolute sincerity, and genuine heart-to-heart talk and wrestle with God. It can happen so fast that you and I can become detached from our God, our Savior, our Father. The one who dearly loves us more than any other. It's so easy for us to become detached. We start running after things. Worries consume us. Activities, pleasures, ambitions can cause us to become detached. Have you met people who put on a face, a facade, a smile, a behavior? They seem to never let go of the facade. The show they present regarding themselves must go on at all costs. Have you met people like that? I've been like that. Have you been like that? The show must go on. The facade must be there. We can become like this in our relationship with God. Put on the show. The lights are on, but nobody's at home. You go through the motions, but you never really connect or are grounded in Him. Because you're not really seeking His presence. It's like being in a house and you're busy starving in this house. And there are many rooms in the house, but there's one room that the door is pulled closed. It's not locked, it's just shut. And at one stage, while you're starving, you peeked into the room many years prior and you saw abundant jewels and treasures. Lots of treasure. It looked like a king's cove full of precious metals. You shut the door. And for years and days and months after that, you're starving. You don't have money for food. And you walk past this closed door. But for one or other reason, you never open the door. And you never go and fetch a jewel to sell and to have a feast. That is how we live our lives when we don't seek His presence. We're starving. We're hungry. In every aspect, body, soul, and spirit. Because when you feed your spirit, God will end up feeding your body and your soul. Seeking His presence will satisfy you where nothing else can satisfy you. In His presence, there truly is fullness of joy and victory. We must seek His presence on a daily basis. All it takes is to earth ourselves to Him and be real with Him. Somebody shared with me, they're struggling with a temptation and they've struggled for many years with this thing, and then they're victorious and then they fail, and it's an up and down, until eventually the Lord gave him another key to the victory. And when this temptation is coming to him and it's starting to rise up in his heart, this guy would say, "Help." It's just a quick cry to God. Every moment, every second, when that temptation wants to come to him, he just says, "Help." And instantly, that temptation is gone. Just say, "Help, Jesus, help." And God pitches. Because saying help to God brings what? the presence of God. And all temptation, all worldly, all fleshliness disappears when we seek His presence. Other scriptures. Before I go to that, there is always the next level of intimacy of His presence to be found. Always the next level. Always another step. If we go look at Ephesians 4 verse 18, it says, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Because of the blindness of their heart. Here Paul is speaking to people in the world, of people in the world. And he says, they live lives of sin. They live lives of no understanding. Their understanding has been darkened. They alienated from the life of God. They are ignorant. He's speaking of the world, but he's warning the Christians in this chapter. He's saying, be careful you don't become like them. Be careful that your understanding also doesn't become darkened. Be careful that you also don't become alienated from the Lord. He's warning the church of this danger. And this can only happen when they lose touch with God. When they lose their understanding. And when they stop practicing the presence of Christ. When they stop seeking the presence of God, then they too can fall into the wickedness, the evil in their understanding like the world he's speaking of here. Having their understanding darkened. Being alienated from the life. It's not talking about the church. He's saying, church, this is what the world is at right now. Being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, the world. Because of the blindness of their hearts. And he carries on and says, but be careful. You can go read it, Ephesians 4. Be careful that you don't fall into the same trap. And the only way to hinder that is to chase after his presence. It's impossible to connect with God, to be in his presence, and that to happen to you. Just doesn't go together. Because in his presence, we receive perspective. In his presence, we receive insight. In his presence, we receive understanding. In his presence, we receive the reality of God. We see like he sees. And we get the picture, the big picture, as he sees the big picture. Let's close our eyes. We're going to stop there. If any of you feel tonight that you've neglected running after the presence of God, and you need to restore that, or you've never really made it a priority in your life, but you want to confess that tonight, that from henceforth, it becomes a priority. I'd like you to stand up right now. God, your presence is going to be my priority from now on. Your presence is what I'm going to seek with all of my heart, all of my mind, all of my strength. I'd like you to pray after me. Say, Lord Jesus Christ, tonight, I confess my neglect of seeking, hungering, yearning for your presence. Please forgive me. Lord, do a mighty thing in my being. Do a mighty thing in this breath that I will hunger and search and yearn for your presence. With all of my strength, cut in me away all flesh that distracts me from seeking and hungering your presence. Tonight, God, explode within me a hunger for your presence, understanding, insight, in Jesus Christ's name. I desperately need you, God, to turn me inside out, upside down. Your presence is what I hunger for tonight, in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for your presence. Thank you, God, that you're going to draw me aside all the days of my life, all the hours of my life, to seek, enter into your presence. Seeing things from your presence, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's sing a song together.